The story of Bartimaeus is about a lot of things, and you could peel off lots of layers to understand so many ways that God is trying to speak to us in this one episode. We talk about prayer and that persistence in prayer. When he's crying out, "Jesus, have pity on me," and they're saying, like, "Stop it, be quiet, it's not worth it, he's not listening, nobody's there. Give up on your prayer, it's not worth it." And he persists, teaching us how to persist in our prayer. But the one thing I want to harp on with Bartimaeus is just that determination, that persistence. He wants this, he needs this. He's very aware of his need for our Lord. He's very humbly aware that he is broken, he is blind. He needs this one singular opportunity with Christ, and he cannot afford to waste it. He's determined. He's not going to shut up when they tell him to. And as I was also struck in this detail of Mark, when he says he sprung up and he cast aside his what? What did he throw away? What did he throw away? He threw off his cloak. Very good. Very good. 10 points. Okay. He threw off his cloak. Understand, Bartimaeus is blind. Do you think he's going to find that cloak again? No. He's done. I'm blind. I'm tired of being blind. I'm sick of it. I hate it. I'm not going back. This has to work. And all my eggs are in this basket in Jesus. All my hope. And he's just determined because he knows how badly he needs this. He's not giving up. And I think our world is, especially in our first world, where things are comfortable and we're doing okay for the most part. Hopefully I have a job, or at least I have income of some sort or support for the moment. I'm doing okay. I'm entertained. I keep pretty busy. I'm okay. I'm not a terrible person. I'm a good person. So what are my needs? And especially, like, I can tell you my material needs. I need to do well on my exam. I need to get this money. I need to get this other thing. But I'm kind of oblivious to my other deeper needs. I've got my Xbox to keep me entertained. I've got my activities that just keep me so absorbed. And the idea of coming to Mass, well, okay, I guess I go once a week on Sundays because that's what you're supposed to do. But I'd rather it be just half an hour and, "Father, would you please hurry?" Because there are other things that seem to me more meeting my needs that I feel. And I'm oblivious to any other needs I might have. Imagine Bartimaeus if he'd been by the roadside with his PlayStation. Just super entertained, you know? "I'm good. Hanging in there. I got some coins. People are very nice here. They give me a little bit of money. I don't eat the finest foods, but I'm good, you know? And there's Jesus, and he comes, and then he goes, and I'm okay." That's our first world a lot of times. It's our first world church a lot of times. We have our blinders on. We don't even realize we're blind to our blindness. We're blind to our brokenness. We're blind to our need, our dire need for the singular opportunities we have with Christ. "Well, what do you mean, Father, you know? I mean, yeah, I guess I lie every now and then, or I curse every now and then, but, you know, everybody does that. So, heck, Father, even you do that, so it can't be that bad. It's not a real sin. Or being a sin, it's not a big deal. I mean, I'm disrespectful to mom and dad. I talk back. I'm kind of sassy. But, you know, anybody does that. So it's not a big deal. I'm okay. I'm not a terrible person. I haven't killed anybody. Father, I mean, so I look on stuff on the internet that I'm not supposed to look at. Or I do stuff with my friends that it's not the best. But, you know, I mean, kids do that. It's okay. Heck, men do that. Women do that. It's okay. We all do that. So God's not going to condemn everybody to hell, so I must be okay. No big deal." We're so blind. We're so blind to our own blindness, our own brokenness. And for us, because it's normal, we forget that it's not natural and not the way we're supposed to be. When our Lord's calling us to innocence, that purity of heart, that love for one another, it's like, wow, like, that's just a nice ideal, Father, but that's not normal, so we'll stick with this kind of like mediocre state. No, it's not okay. I mean, I get jealous at times, I gossip at times, but heck, you know, everybody does, so it must not be a big deal. Nope, I don't have time for God because I don't have really much of a need for God. I'm okay, I'm a good person. is always there telling me that, you know, I'm not terrible. Stop judging me. Church, stop calling me out. It's mostly my sister's fault anyway, my mom's fault that I did that, or my parents' fault, or my spouse's fault, my husband's fault, because he knows he's always wrong. And we miss so much. You don't go to the doctor until you realize you're sick. You know, even those who are like, you know, they come sometimes like, Father, like, I'm no angel, but so-and-so, like, let me tell you about them. Stop it. But even there, like, okay, what if it's true? I don't have a ton of sins. You know, I go to confession maybe, and I missed Mass on Sunday. That's about it. You know, my last confession was 2 years ago. Okay. But okay, even if it were the case that you didn't have a ton of sins on your heart, if you were given more that allowed you not to have to suffer so many sins, if you were given such grace that you had such virtue that you didn't struggle in so many ways that maybe the rest of us might, even there, like those few sins, because of what you were given, are all the more heavy because you shouldn't have sinned in the first place. You were given much more, spiritually at least. So just food for thought. That we are broken, but sometimes we are, even though we're blind to our blindness. That's the worst kind of blindness. And this isn't to shame us. You don't go to our Lord, you don't experience mercy, you don't experience anything of God until first you recognize, I'm not okay. My sins are not okay. The mortal ones or the venial ones, they're not okay. My relationships and my family life are not okay. Well, I mean, I'm still married. I still wake up in the morning and do my job. But yeah, there's no real sensitivity to the other person. There's no real growing affection for my sister. She's annoying, Father. Oops. So, it's true, we all struggle there. And even our Lord recognizes it. When Bartimaeus comes to him, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? The rest of us might have sat there and said, I mean, Lord Jesus, are you blind? Do you not realize? Like, he's blind. He wants you to let him see. Like, no, but our Lord is provoking from Bartimaeus. He's almost saying, like, what do you know what you need? What do you need? Sometimes we come before our Lord on Sundays or maybe, you know, other occasions, and that's the first thing our Lord would like to ask. Do you know what you need? Why are you here? Why do you come? Well, I don't know. I mean, I've been doing this since I was a kid, and that's what you're supposed to do. It's a commandment. If I don't come, I'm going to hell. So I come. No. No. Oh, you know, I come because my parents make me come. That's not okay. We're missing something. Do you know why you're here? He says. Because it's really only insofar as I see my need, my brokenness, my sin, that our Lord is then allowed to heal me. That there's space for him to do something. If I am self-sufficient right where I am, just comfortable and content, he's got nothing to offer me. Our Christian faith, our Christian experience of Christ himself starts on a negative, and that negative is, Lord, I've messed up and I'm sorry. Until you get there, go home. Or come with the hope that you might get there. Again, this isn't to crush us. This is to open the door that for many of us in our first world is kind of blind, like the blinders are on. It's like I'm in this room with so many gifts and blessings, but the lights are off. I don't see anything because my pride has kind of veiled the light. And I'm doing just great. Y'all saw Moana, right? Have I talked about Moana here? Well, Moana, that's a good movie. Homework assignment. If you haven't seen Moana, go watch it. But that last scene when Moana's like there with Taka, the villain, and she says, let her come to me through the water. I think that's Jesus calling about Bartimaeus. Call him. Let him come to me. And there's Taka in the movie, like she's like, oh, fed up, like, leave me alone, I'm done, I'm good, just give me what I want. until Moana shows her for the first time, no, no, you're missing something. And that demonic figure of Teka, like anger, enraged, frustrated, tired of whatever Moana would do to stop her, instead, like, she realizes, oh my gosh, like, and then she bows, she kneels down, and she allows Moana to restore her to who she was. Anyway, if you didn't see the movie, that was totally over your head. But anyway, there's a quick story, I'm sure, I mean, I've shared it with you all before, about this young lady. She was in an accident, and she was blinded by that accident, and over the years she would continue to go to Mass, not just on Sundays, but more days, and pray on her own, and pray the rosary, and go to adoration. And at one point, when she was in her early 20s, her friends asked her, how do you still believe in a God who would do that to you, who would let that happen to someone like you? And her simple answer, very deep from the heart, was, well, maybe you don't understand. Perhaps when you go to God in some dire need that you may have once in a blue moon, and he grants you some sort of grace, it's like, well, it's rare that you see God. But I see God every day come through for me, take care of me, provide for my need. And I can't not believe in him because he's so visible to me. Sometimes when we think we can see everything, all the little glimmers and lights and like the LED light, like it's so bright in my eyes, I can't see the sun, I can't see God, I can't see my wounds that need him. Jesus himself would say in the Gospel of John, I have come so that those who see or think they see might realize that they are blind, and so that then the blind may come to see. So the question is always, where am I in that? Do I see that I don't see? Do I see that I'm blind? Do I see that I really need our Lord? I really need this encounter with our Lord, even as I look at my watch hoping the Father will end soon. Do I know why I'm here? And do I need it from the depths of my heart? When we pray these prayers of the faithful that we're going to, and again, this one's a little exceptional because some of them are about me, kind of awkward, but do we pray from the depths of my heart because we know that the church needs these prayers, that we need these prayers answered? An examination of conscience is just a gesture, an effort on our part to examine deeply. I'm realizing, Lord, this is how badly I need you. Because I thought I'd just sin with this one thing, but really I sin in all sorts of ways. And my family is really broken, the way we treat each other on our bad days. We can't just go on as if that's normal. So we ask for the grace to have him remove the blinders over our eyes, the entertainment factors, the contentment with the status quo, so that we might realize that it's not okay. It's not something to be content with. And that's why we're here. When we go before our Lord in communion, that's my chance for Bartimaeus. Lord, have pity on me. Find me worthy of your pity, because I'm not okay. Find me worthy of your compassion. It's nice when we're babies and we cry out and we whine. That's awesome, because all of us from the depths of our heart should experience that deeply. I'll leave off with one appendix, and that's from Jeremiah. He prophesied 400 years before Christ, give or take, that God said, I will lead you back to me. I will take care of you. I will lead you to living waters and deep happiness. And the blind and the lame will be in your midst. We're at Mass, and we could just as easily now read that prophecy fulfilled, Mass with that overlap between heaven and earth, as the prophet God was speaking, is speaking, to those with us in heaven, as he says, I have led you to living waters, to a deep happiness. I've given you all your needs. I brought you back to me from your land of tears. And in your midst, speaking to us now, with us now, are the blind and the lame. What is Mass except that beautiful, mysterious overlap where we are still broken and they are now healed fully. And we long that our Lord would hear our need, hear our prayer, answer our need, heal our wounds in our personal lives, in our family life, in our society, in our parish community. And allow us to be instruments in bringing that mercy and healing to others. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.